Hello, everyone. I'm Bryce Rickert, and this is Hawk Talk, a student podcast on the Q Media Podcast Network. We're here in Studio Q at North Campus today, April 8th, 2025. My co-host for this episode is none other than pitcher David Kelleher. Welcome.
Hey, nice to be here.
Yeah. Let's get into some QU news for the week, and then we'll transition into like a baseball aspect because I know that's what both of us kind of lean towards.
Right.
So, announced on, I believe that was Friday.
Friday, April 4th.
Yeah. QU women's basketball coach Courtney Boyd steps down. She resigned after just two seasons with the Hawks. She was the 13th head coach of the Quincy women's basketball team following an NAIA national championship run. Her first season, she went 10-18 and narrowly missed the GLVC tournament by one game. In year two, big win this year for the Hawks women's basketball team. They had and won an appearance, or they won the GLVC tournament and had an appearance in the D2 March Madness.
I would assume it's called, you know, D2 March Madness. Maybe they just call it the tournament or, you know, regions. I don't understand how all that works because, I mean, I know, you know, at the D1 level, everything's, oh, it's March Madness. But, you know, maybe they do call it March Madness. It'd be interesting if they did because I feel like they would gain a lot more, like, attraction from fans and stuff if they called it, you know, like the D2 March Madness.
Yeah, and I know that the high school boys basketball here in Illinois is March Madness. They call it March Madness.
Really?
Too. Yeah.
See, yeah, being from Georgia, when it comes time to playoff basketball in Georgia, it's playoff basketball, you know? I mean, it's down to business, but there's no, like, March Madness or anything.
Yeah. So, like I said, 2024-2025 Great Lakes Valley Conference champions for the first time in 20 years, while also leading the Hawks to their first NCAA tournament appearance since 2016. That's a big deal for the women's basketball team here on campus. I know there was quite a bit of buzz all around just for supporting them, you know.
Right.
It was a great season, and it's good to see success like that around campus.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if you saw, but she actually left. I mean, good for her. She left to go to a D1 school, Valpo. I mean, I don't really know much about them personally. I know they play some schools that are, like, well-known. They play, like, Davidson, Butler, you know, some high-name schools up there. But, I mean, be able to come in for 2 years and transform a sub-500 team to, you know, go into the NCAA tournament since 2016, I mean, a huge congrats to her. I mean, it's really impressive in my eyes to see somebody come in 2 years and just be able to go to the Division I level now and, you know, become a head coach there.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit pre-production. Just crazy. It only took two seasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's inheriting a team in Valpo that went 13-19 this season, 9-11 in the conference, in their conference. But, you know, she can obviously turn programs around, so it's good for her. It'll be interesting to see where the QU Hawks women's basketball team goes forward, whether it's an internal promotion or if they hire somebody externally. It's just kind of one of those things you just got to sit on and wait to see what happens.
Right.
So next, we will move to some men's wrestling news. The National Wrestling Coaches Association announced the recipients of the 2025 NCAA Division II Men's Scholar All-American Awards on Monday morning, April 7th, and they named four Quincy University wrestlers as Scholar All-Americans. The criteria for that is All-American status, All-American placement at the Division II National Championships with a 3.0 GPA, national qualifications to the D2 National Championships with a 3.25 GPA, or completed four or more events at a 3.5 GPA. So not only are these guys getting it done on the mat, they're getting it done in the classroom too, which is important just for life, you know, after sports are over.
Right.
Eventually it all comes for everybody.
Well, I mean, especially, being a student athlete, I mean, it's hard. Like, it's not the easiest thing to, you know, be able to perform on the field and in the classroom. And for these guys to be scholars and All-Americans doing it, I mean, it's really impressive. I mean, you don't see it happen a whole lot. So to have four guys on one team be able to do it, I mean, it's pretty exciting.
And you know, I think that shows some leadership from the coaching staff to make sure these guys are getting to class. Because I know, you know, I'm not a student athlete here on campus, but I don't want to go to class every day.
I mean, being a student athlete, I don't want to go to class every day either. But, you know, when you play a sport, it's kind of easier to hold yourself accountable to go to class because you have that accountability when you play. So it's like, okay, if I can have that accountability there, I can have it in the real world. So might as well just go to class. So
yeah, so we have some past winners, some guys doubling it up. Sorry for the pronunciations. These may or may not be right. We didn't have the breakdowns of pronunciation on these names, so I apologize ahead of time. Logan Colbert and Sebastian Russell are two-time NCAA.
Yeah, it's the
All-Scholar.
It's the National Wrestling Coaches Association. Yeah,
they're two-time. Okay, they've done it twice. They get their work done outside of their sport. And joining them is Callan Ivey and Dalton Shell. Once again, I'm sorry if any of those were pronounced incorrectly. I do apologize. We just don't have the pronunciations on hand. So good for those guys. It's something really impressive to do just outside of the sport. So let's take a look at this weird weekend of baseball. Because it was a weird one.
It was a very weird weekend.
Because it was originally scheduled, how every weekend goes.
Yeah, Friday. One Friday, two Saturday, one Sunday.
Yeah, and then Friday got moved to Monday, and then it got moved to Saturday. It was just kind of the weather.
Yeah, the weather this weekend was, I mean, it honestly wasn't as bad as I said it was going to be, but it definitely did play a factor, that's for sure.
Yeah, it seems like it rained every day last week.
Yeah, it did. It was weird because, like, it rained Friday, and then towards the end of the day Friday, it looked like it was clear enough for us to play, but then obviously the field wasn't ready. And then Saturday, we got there. It rained just a little bit, but it wasn't enough. All we had to do was clear some puddles when we got there, and we did, and the field was playable. But Sunday, the field was perfectly fine. We didn't have to show up and do anything. We showed up, hit BP, and got ready to play.
Yeah, so doubleheader Saturday, doubleheader Sunday, split both of them.
Right.
You know, it's conference games, conference doubleheaders, they're tough. You know, they can go either way.
Yeah.
And I think both of these games just show that, you know, regardless of their doubleheaders, they're different games.
Oh, yeah. No, every game is a different game. But, I mean, from what I found out about UND is, you know, they're our rivals. And, you know, being a transfer and everything, I didn't know that. So once I found out they were our rivals, you know, it kind of lit a fire underneath me a little bit to get going, because I was like, well, it's our rivals, you know, we got to roll them. So, but every game is different. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in a baseball game. You know, I read this stat the other day that there's over 12 million different ways to get one out. 12 million different ways to get one out.
That's wild.
So there's really no way you can never predict a baseball game. Like there's nothing like, you can't predict it. You might be able to be like, oh, you know, I'm calling this home run. Okay, guy hits a home run. Yeah, you predicted that part. That's about it. You're not going to predict it like one out of those 12 million outs. It's just, it's hard.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and take a look around the GLVC at some standings. So hold on, I'm counting because they don't give me numbers here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We're sitting at 8-8 on the season in conference play, right at 500 in the middle of this conference. I don't feel like this overall 15-19 record is what this team is.
It's not. It's not. We've faced some hardships. You know, it's just it's the game of baseball. Some things haven't flown our way, and it sucks. And it's very unfortunate for the way that things have gone, but We're definitely not a 15-19 team. I can tell you that there's been probably about 7 or 8 games that we should have come out on top. But you know, with the way the game of baseball goes, you never know what's going to happen at the end of a game. And unfortunately, we had to be on the losing end on some of those. But as the season's gone on, we've learned to, you know, build some grit and actually fight back at those late inning games and win those games rather than losing them like we did it, you know, earlier in the season.
You know, I've been on the call for the GLVCSN for seven home games this season, and just watching it, it feels like it's not everything's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just putting it all together at the same time.
Right. And I mean, you'll see the games where we do put it all together and it's like, wow, like these guys are really good. And then you see the games where it's, oh, our pitching's put together this game, but we don't have our hitters. Oh, hitters are put together this game, but we don't have our pitchers. And it's, I mean, unfortunately, like I said, it's the game of baseball. And I mean, when one thing isn't flowing, you got to rely on the other thing. So when pitching isn't flowing, we have to rely on our hitters. But at the end of the day, it's a matter of who can, you know, anchor down and actually get the job done when it matters. So like when pitching isn't working and hitting is, you know, late in the ball game in the ninth inning when we have a 2-run lead, we got to learn to close it out because, well, we can't lose that ball game. You know, we're up by 2. Close it out, slam the door, and you know, let's win the ball game.
Yeah, and I think the completeness was shown in those first two home series against the Colorado School of Mines and Upper Iowa, which Upper Iowa, fortunately, you know, able to pull 3 of 4 out of that one, but swept the Colorado School of Mines, which you wish that would have been a conference matchup.
Yeah, just it would have been huge. Was conference matchup.
Yeah. So, you know, the first game, I was on the call for the first game, February 28th, against the Colorado School of Mines. It was a 20-4 win.
Yeah.
Like that was the most, I think that was probably the most complete game.
I would have to say that was probably, I don't know, if you could go back to the game 2 at Tampa when we played, you know, number 1, we won that game 9-2, I'm pretty sure. And yes. I would have to argue that was probably one of our most well put together games. I mean, every pitcher came in there, did their job, put up zeros like they were supposed to. Hitters came to life when we were supposed to, you know, in the big moments when we needed to shine, we shined. And I would have to argue that was probably our most well-put-together game.
Yeah, and, you know, you look, it just, I don't know. College baseball is way different than MLB just because of the scoring difference. You know, all these scores are just, some of them, wow.
Yeah, some of them are high scoring.
20-run games.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, there's...
I mean, you will see from time to time at the MLB level, you do see an occasional 20-run game. And that's, you know, the same occasion as guys at the college level. That's when pitchers don't have it those days. We call it one of those days. And unfortunately, you know, you will see that.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, St. Louis Cardinals. Thanks for spending $2 million in the offseason. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. And we just, you know, we spent, what, $45 million on Jurickson Profar, and he just got suspended for PEDs?
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, his best friend was Fernando Tatis Jr. So.
Well, that'll do it. So I was kind of briefing myself for this podcast, just looking to justify that this season isn't what it says. Looking at the GLVC as a whole, Ben Dolliff is currently sitting 11th in the conference in average.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Mateo holds firm third place in the conference with 10 home runs, which there's...
Yeah, he...
Gunnar Wicklund of Upper Iowa had a killer series against us.
Yeah, he did.
But he has 12, and then somebody who we're going to face next, or just this coming week at Lewis, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, George, he's got 15 home runs. That's scary. He's hitting 364 with a 1.343 OPS and 15 home runs.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be on our radar for us pitchers. I mean, I haven't really kept up with him, but you know, I see him get posted by D2 on Instagram and everything like that. So like, I've seen this guy come around, and they're now ranked, you know, 24th in the nation. So we, you know, but this is nothing new to us. We've played number 1 in the nation. We've played, you know, Central Missouri, who was number 3 at the time when we played them. UIndy, you know, they weren't ranked when we played them, but at the start of the season, they were actually ranked 6th. So if you, and LMU, when we played them at the start of the season, they had received votes. So if you really go back and look at it, the type of teams that we have played have all, the majority of them have either been ranked or have received votes to be ranked. So we've played schools that are, you know, that are some top dogs, and we've hung in there with them. Now it's just a matter of going out there and getting the job done.
Yeah, like I said, a tough one this week as far as the toughest team in the GLVC.
Yeah.
By far.
Oh, yeah.
The Hawks will travel to Romeoville, Illinois, to take on Lewis University this weekend. Friday game is at 2 p.m. first pitch, doubleheader Saturday, and a noon first pitch on Sunday. So the Lewis University Flyers are currently sitting at 14-2 in the conference with a 24-6 overall. They're on a 9-game win streak.
And they just swept Davenport.
Yeah.
I want to say Davenport took two from us as well.
Yeah, it was that weird weekend where Central Missouri was in town. We played Central Missouri on Friday, and then Central Missouri played Davenport on Saturday.
And then we played
Davenport. Yeah, it was just that was a weird weekend.
It was.
That matchup for Lewis or against Lewis this weekend it's going to be a test.
It's going to be a test, but I think it's going to be fun because we've started to put things together. We're starting to come to life. You know, we're starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together. You know, I think this weekend it'll be a true test, but I think it'll be a weekend where you see a lot of adversity come from us and you see us overcome those challenges and those barriers that we have faced, you know, earlier in the season.
Yeah, and some good hitting from the Hawks. Matt Mateo and Ben Dolph are currently tied for fourth place in the conference with 46 hits, and both of them are played 34 and 33 games, so these guys are playing almost every game.
Yeah.
For the Hawks, looking at pitching, it's not what it is on the stat sheet.
No.
It's not. You know, the highest ERA or the lowest ERA pitcher for the Hawks is Kyle Manchip, who sits with a 5.05 ERA. He's 2-2 with four games started. But it hasn't been a high, heavy, one dose, you know, like a ace per se.
Yeah.
It's been a kind of a group collective.
And we knew coming into this year it was going to be a little bit of a group effort. Last year they had a guy named Griffin Kern. And a lot of guys here still know him and a lot of people here still know him. But he was a dog. Like I would say that he's at West Virginia now and he's putting up like insane numbers. So last year, yeah, we did have that one guy where it was – I wasn't here last year to see any of it, so I don't really know about it. I've just heard about it. But they did have that one guy that was going to go out there and set the tone at the beginning of the series to get them rolling. But this year, we don't – don't get me wrong, we have guys. We have a lot of guys. But we don't have, you know, that one – we don't have that Griffin Kern that's going to go out there game one and set that tone like he did last year. But we do have a bunch of guys that will come together and gel together and play hard and work together as a group to get the win.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at this pitching stats on the govcsports.com, Kobe Essien he sits 14th in the conference in innings pitched with 40 and a third.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of guys. Nick Phillips of Truman sits at 54 and a third innings pitched. It's just not how, you know, this team's built to play baseball is to have – I feel like the pitch by committee thing has worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of pieces. Like if you ever look down in that bullpen, you know, during a game or before a game, you'll see, I don't know, 20 guys down there, that bullpen. There's a lot of options. There is.
There's always something going on in the bullpen.
Yeah. There's always a lot going on. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a fun place to be, but it's just, there's a lot of options to go to. So it's, you know, it's a lot more of a group effort now. You know, when somebody's struggling, there's another name to be called on. Like guys are itching for opportunities here. So I mean, whenever that opportunity rises, like guys are ready to pounce on it. They're ready to answer the call.
Yeah, speaking of answering the call, you do that quite often. 16 appearances with a 3.22 ERA, 18 strikeouts in 22 and a third innings pitched. What has been, you know, I've been at some games and the walks are up there, but that happens. And it's, I feel like, especially the right-handers tend to crowd the plate against you just because you have that kind of three-quarter sidearm delivery.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a good pitcher.
Yeah. Okay. The walks, I mean, it's just, unfortunately, it's just like, that is the game of baseball, but with side armors and like with the way I throw, you're gonna, you know, find those times of inconsistency, but it's a matter of what are you gonna do to get out of it. And unfortunately, in that time frame, I was so far in my head, like I was just thinking about every possible outcome, that I wasn't focusing on what truly mattered, and that was just throwing the baseball. And once I was able to finally get out of my head, I was like, it was a 4-week stint where I was in my head. And once I was finally able to get out of it, I mean, I don't know. This past weekend, I went 5.2 innings, and I think I had one, maybe two walks this entire weekend. And for me, that's pretty huge for me. I do tend to walk guys from time to time. Don't get me wrong, but when I'm rolling and when I'm on my hot streak, you will see a lot less, you know, walks coming from me.
Yeah, and you know, opponent's batting average against you, second on the team with a 2.18 batting average, and I mean, you're first on the team in ERA. So
yeah,
I mean, that's some consistency.
Yeah, it's just the only thing that really gets me is lefties. Lefties love seeing me.
Really?
Yeah, because it's such an open arm path for them. Like, as soon as they see the arm come out from the sidearm, they can track that ball the whole way. Versus when I throw to a righty, I'm able to hide the ball a little bit better, you know, especially with the slider, it coming at their back hip and then just coming into the strike zone. So it's, you know, allows me to hide the ball better against a righty versus a lefty.
I'm really interested to see what, you know, there's not much of the schedule left.
No, there's not.
This season has flown by.
Yeah, but the Maryville series, that I've heard that it's going to be a really, really fun series, because that's who we lost to last year in the championship game of conference. Yep. So I've heard, and that's our senior weekend. So it's going to be it's going to be fun and rowdy.
Yeah, looking at the rest of the schedule for the baseball team, the Baseball Hawks, there's not really a good way to get that out. The QU Hawks, because then, I don't know, it's different with college because there's a ton of sports teams.
Right.
So, this weekend, traveling to Lewis. Then, the following weekend, traveled down to Jeff City, Missouri, to take on Lincoln University of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Following up with that last weekend in April against Maryville at home, that'll be senior weekend. And then closing it out down in Kirksville at Truman State before the GOVC tournament on May 7th. So, yeah. Only four series left, which stinks. I love baseball, and it's been, you know, this is a class we take to do the broadcast for sports, and, you know, it was something I kind of took as an extra because it sounded cool, and I'm glad I did, and I'll probably do it in the fall.
Right.
Because it's been a lot of fun. So, it's been fun to watch. I've only done baseball, so it's been fun to watch the team grow, and, like, I don't know anybody besides you, but it's been fun to like get to know what to expect from people,
right?
You know, batters and pitchers and stuff like that. And
yeah, I wish this wasn't my senior year, because I would definitely come back next year, you know, and do this class and, you know, learn some more sports. Because I mean, I know baseball, I know softball. It's, you know, not too much different than baseball, and I know a little bit about basketball and a little bit about football. But like, we have 28 sports here, right?
Something a lot.
We have a lot of sports, so I mean, there would be a lot of opportunities, you know, to join some new games and, you know, and to learn some new sports. And I mean, I don't know. If I was able to stay, I definitely would. But you know, last year of college, you know, got to go back home and start the real world, start the real life.
Yeah. What's your plans for?
So, after baseball, I plan to work with my father in a detailing business that he works for. And so I'll run like a shop at a dealership detailing cars, which I've done since I was 16. So that'd be pretty cool. And then I'm also a baseball coach at East Cobb, one of the biggest organizations in like travel ball baseball. And then I'm supposed to be working for a recruiting service for college athletes and high school athletes to get, like, it's for baseball players to get to either another college in the transfer portal or get to college to continue their, you know, their playing career. So
yeah, I just have one more question.
Mm-hmm.
This is just kind of a personal question. What's the idea behind taking Roman Harrison out of the bullpen and making him a starting pitcher? Do you have any idea?
I love it. I personally love it.
I do too.
I mean, there was one day where one of our four starter, Ben Drager, he ended up, I think, I don't know if it was an arm problem or a knee problem. It was one of the two. But he started having problems, and it was kind of just a spot start. They didn't tell anybody. They didn't tell a soul who was starting. And then they walked up to Roman on the day of the game. I can't remember who it was against, but they walked up to him, and they're like, all right, Rome, here's the ball. And he started, and then ever since then, they haven't really looked back. I mean, I think they realized it was a good decision.
Yeah, and, you know, I was there for the Drury game on March 28th, which was his first home start, where he went 7-8 strikeouts, only one earned run.
Yeah, like in my eyes, should have won pitcher of the week, but there was a pitcher at Truman State who literally just outbeat him. I think he ended up having – I don't think he ended up giving up a run. I think that was the only difference.
Yeah, and, you know, they haven't announced it for this week, but
right.
Matt Mateo did get –
yeah, he got the honors last week.
He got the honors, baseball player of the week.
Huge week last week.
In the GLVC, yeah. It was a good week all around. That was fun. That was a fun game.
It was fun to watch him play.
It was. He went 10 for 19. He batted 526, which is insane in four games. He ripped four homers, a triple, drove in 10 runs, scored 7, swiped 2 bags, 5 for 5 against Drury in the second game. He had 3 home runs in that game, which was nuts. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch.
So, well, thank you, David, for co-hosting, kind of back and forth, just like a good flow today.
Yeah, of course, felt good. Anytime.
So, thank you for listening to the Hawk Talk podcast. I am Bryce Rickert, and this has been a production of the QU Media Podcast Network.